We are celebrating our 71st anniversary today. And as you'll see, as I share with you a little bit about our history, this is a significant day because it was actually the 26th in which they met for the first time. But there have been innumerable doors that have been opened in the last 71 years. Someone opened your door, right? To invite you here? Well, remember that? Can you think through that first time in which the door was open, someone spoke to you face to face, hey, why don't you come and join us at Falling Brook Heights Baptist Church? Some of you came because you were there with your parents, and when they opened the door on Sunday morning of your bedroom and said, let's go, you came. Think of all the doors that have been opened in the last 71 years. There have been so many doors that have been opened in many, many different ways. In fact, as we've been talking about this series of Go Open Doors, I've tried to conceptualize and think about how many doors you open just in one single day. The first door I think every one of us have the opportunity to open is when we take our first breath in the morning and realize that that prayer that we prayed, if I should die before I wake, didn't happen. So there we are on another day, and our first open door is with us and God for the day. We go through all throughout our day, interacting with people all around us, and opening doors. I've tried to understand that and understand just how that works in our lives, and how we go through our lives, knowing that God opens those doors for us. So let me just share a little bit. TTC was being established in the 20s. And it was about that same time that the TTC was being established in Toronto from a number of other bus lines. It was a provincial act of parliament that said the TTC would be formed in 1920. But at the same time, in this community, there were two Baptist missions that had already been going for a number of years. The Calvary Baptist Mission and a Waverly Road Baptist Mission had both worked together to create a new church. And it was in 1923 that new church, first called Unity Baptist Church, and then called Jordan Baptist Church, I believe after one of the benefactors, one of the older women of the community who actually helped to get the church going, Mrs. Jordan. Jordan Baptist Church, which over time became Victoria Park Baptist Church. And these churches were faithful all throughout the 20s and 30s. And into the 40s, there was a movement of God's Spirit. There was some change in relationships, of which people at Calvary Baptist Church decided to go and create a new church. And in creating that new church, it was Wednesday, November 26th, 1945, when there was a special meeting held. I don't know where that special meeting was held. But there was a special meeting held, and that meeting was to organize a regular Baptist church, not because we're regular people, but because that's the name they used back in the 40s, a regular Baptist church belonging to the Toronto Association of Baptist Churches, and that's when they decided to call it Falling Brook Heights Baptist Church after the community in which they wanted to minister. That was the first meeting they had in which they decided to have Falling Brook Heights Baptist Church. And over time, this group of people that decided to have this meeting decided to build a church. And they built the church on the corner of Clonmore and Blantyre, if memory serves me correctly, which a few of you have actually experienced being in that church. It's interesting when we reflect back on the history of Falling Brook Heights Baptist Church, because this morning, at least, as I think about it, there's a bit of grief in my heart. And the grief in my heart is, of course, missing those that have already gone to be with the Lord, but I think are observing us this morning and celebrating their history and our history. I think of the Maddens. I think of Joan Platt. I think of May Hulse. I think of Harold and Vivian Hepburn, although I never had the opportunity to meet Vivian. I think of others. I think of Gail's mom. I think of others who I've had the opportunity to meet. Teresa Partridge. Others as well, if you think of their names, you can certainly call them out. People who invested their time, and that's funny, as a financial planner, when you reach 71 years old, it's the time in which you start reaping the benefit of your investments. Anyone 71 here that's turned their R-speed or RIF? 71 years. You build up your investments and then you enjoy them. And I was thinking about that this morning, realizing that we have been enjoying the benefit of our investments. I enjoy the benefit of your investment into this community. So there is this strange dynamic of how we both invest and we benefit from at the same time. But today I'm reminded of those people who have invested and given inordinate amount of time and energy and effort to see you here today, that prayed for you, that are delighted in you still, and that desire that you continue to open doors in your faith. Open doors with people all around you to invite them also into community with God. So this morning I wanted to ask Don Hepburn to come and read for us this morning. I also encourage Don, if he wants to share anything this morning about our history, you're welcome to do so. But this morning, as we think about our history at Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church, it's exciting this morning to be walking this with you. So Don, if you'll come here this morning, we're going to read a passage in Romans. Romans 11, if you'll turn to the book of Romans. Romans 11 is where Don is going to read for us.
Thank you. I'm not sharing any history. I need more time. There's just too much. I've been here 64 years, so it's a lot of history. Reading from the 33rd verse of chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Turning the page, chapter 12, reading the first five verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measurement of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others.
Thank you, Don, for reading that passage for us. As I thought about this anniversary Sunday, I somewhat felt incapable of summarizing all the video, if you will, of your faith stories together. So I encourage you during your snack time to reminisce a little bit and think about this history that God has invested into us that you're experiencing today. But this morning, as I think about that and think about the weeks that we've had in talking about going to open doors, the doors have been open to you. As someone loved you and extended the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, and you are given that opportunity to extend it to others as well. And all throughout the history of Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church at the Center, this has been the message of what we've done. I was reading about the late 90s, some of the meetings that were held. And three drivers came out of the meetings that were held about what to do. After those, some of you are involved in that as well too. And as you prayed to the Lord for direction, as you sought to know what was next, in the uncertainty of not having the building anymore to worship in. In that uncertainty of what do we do? What's our identity? What are we doing going forward? There were three drivers. We should stay together. Unity of the Spirit. It's talked about in this text. We should stay together. We should seek the Lord's will to see what He would like us to do together. And we need a break. When I was reading that history, I was impressed with the Lord speaking through time about those three things, perhaps in your life. That indeed you need to stay connected to God. The way we do that and the way you do it over even Christmas time may be a challenge with all the other stuff that goes on. But the way that you seek God's direction, understanding lordship in your life, and that you take a rest. He gives it to you. You deserve a rest. So as we think about this and think about the open doors, as we've looked about over these last number of weeks, let me just summarize a few points from the text that we've looked at here. I want to encourage you to go ahead. Go open doors. Do it boldly. Do it with God's direction upon you. Do it in an organic pace. Do it in a way that God brings it up for you, that you can do it in a healthy way. Because God has opened up for you His wisdom and His power, His mercy and His love. The door's open. It's not shut. It's never locked. God has this threshold of love that you can enter into that's His wisdom and power and His mercy and His love. But I have to admit, I'm not always receiving that. In fact, I may be receiving it, but I'm not giving it back out. I'm not exercising His wisdom and His power. I'm not extending His mercy and His love because I have bad filters, perhaps, because I choose not to do it, because my own volition says, no, I choose not to be godly. We enter into worship with God. Worship isn't Sunday morning coming and sitting here in the community center and singing music, although that's part of it. True worship, as it says in this text, is total abandon, total sacrifice to His lordship. Does that mean destruction of yourself? No. No, it means giving yourself, total abandon, to His lordship. He's sovereign, after all. That's your true worship. It actually takes, for me, it takes away a lot of the expectations of what worship should be. You know, the religious things that we've done over the last 2,000 years of, well, if you do so many of these prayers, then you'll be right with God. If you spend 15 minutes with God every day, you'll be right with Him. If you go to a certain church, you'll be right with Him. If you don't do these things, you'll be right with Him. I can't keep track of all that. Can't do it. This is simpler. Give myself to God. Isn't that what He deserves? Because the truth is, in the context with which we live, the human patterns, the philosophies around us in life that we're drawn into all the time. Yesterday I heard a hymn being played at a mall in the craziness of Black Saturday, if you will. There was a disconnect because the hymn talked about peace and joy with God. That's not what was going on around me. You see, human patterns and philosophies alone, like without God, because everything is redeemable, but without God, these human patterns and philosophies we live with are dead ends. Anything in your life that you're pursuing that you think is God, that's not God, is going to take you to a dead end. If you can conceptualize that like driving a car, you're going to be at the dead end saying, what? I thought this would answer all my issues about life. I've got no place to go. Dead end, is what Paul says here. Goodness, our goodness, as we exercise it, it conforms to and it enters into God's will. And by just doing that, it renews us and transforms us. Changes us. The humble response to God is grace that unites us in community. You see, as Paul writes the book of Romans, he says this brilliant passage, "For by the grace given to me," I'm not God, I'm with you on this, "by the grace given to me, I say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to you. For each, since each one of us has a body with many members, these members don't all have the same function. In Christ, your body, you're his body. We work together, and you belong to each other." It totally changes the perspective of love when we belong to each other. We're a body together. We should, and we do, feel pain when one of our members feels pain. We should, and we do, express joy when one of our members expresses joy. I was talking to someone in the community center here, can't share their story totally, a member that doesn't attend our congregation, sorry, a person here that doesn't attend our congregation, and they shared with me a joyful news in their life. And I was delighted to hear it. Isn't that part of life, is sharing that dynamic? Faithful living is in a healthy body which belongs to each other. Part of the question I know that we ask each other, I ask myself as a pastor, is what are the gifts that God has given me for me to do and be fulfilled? And this passage says, you're together in this, right? So your deficiencies, the things that you don't think that you have in life to be able to accomplish the things in life, someone around you is probably able to speak into that and through the Holy Spirit give to your life what you need. In church. I'm not just talking about Falling Brook Heights Baptist Church of the Center, the Church of Jesus Christ. Christian friends that you have that invest into your life, of course, we're all part of that larger body. But if you're looking for something in your life that you feel a deficiency in, go connect with another Christian. It may just be that God is actually having you go to them to receive what he's going to give to you because he wants to remind you that we're all connected together. And all of us are blessed and gifted with great love and resources to give to each other. How do I know that? Every Sunday morning we have snack. Bless each other. Provide for each other. You have something guaranteed that's given to you to give to the body. Think of your physical body and how it works together. It's interconnected so that it feeds each part of the body. Faithful living is in a healthy body which belongs to each other. I wanted to talk about this text because I hoped it would unify us in the fact that when we talk about going to open doors, sometimes we have the concept that we go to a door and we open it ourselves. We actually open it as a community. Prayer is vitally important, essentially important. It's the connection with the ones whose birthdays we're going to celebrate next month. Prayer is the vital connection between us and our Lord, the one who's going to give us the wisdom and the power and the grace and the love to be able to do what he wants us to do. It's vitally important that we pray, and we do pray for each other, and we've seen prayers answered for each other. And that answering of the prayers will go back into feeding the body again. We don't open doors independently. I may go open a door with someone in our community that Brian meets, in fact, happened this week, and the grace that I extend to a person, that Brian then meets that person and extends grace to her, aren't we opening the same door? Isn't God opening the door through us? He is. You're going to open doors. In fact, in just a few seconds, you're going to open doors. In fact, right now, God has opened a threshold towards his love that all you have to do is step in. Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep, and they will come in and out and find pasture." Isn't that a beautiful image that we can go in and connect with Christ, and we can go and live out in the world, and we can go back and forth through this threshold that's called Jesus Christ? Over this past month, we've done this in various ways. We have doors around the room. On either side of us here, we have doors that you've signed up on, and I've taken a picture of that, and some of the prayers that are on that, I'm going to share in the next few weeks as well to come. If there's anything that's private that's on there that I sense is a private prayer, I won't mention it or I'll get in touch with you first. But the prayers that are on there, we're going to pray these prayers. And I want to encourage you with these two images of doors, you can write your name on the door into heaven. writing your name into the door of heaven is just praying, saying, God, it's Ken. Are you hearing me? His word says he does hear me. If you journal, if you like to journal, write it out. Write out your prayers to God. Keep doing that. We also have other doors here. This green door here, to me, represents that we need to have childlike faith. God calls us to respond to him, and I try to put it all together first, and I don't end up getting to where God is. He says, just come. Just come like a child, to have childlike faith. In fact, some of the doors that we have, like this one behind me here, some of these doors in your life are so close because they're your family. They're opportunities for you to share the gospel that's just a step away. And I believe that God calls us to find more creative ways to share with those around us that are close by, that aren't ways that are annoying to them or bothersome to them, but just finding new ways to express the gospel to those we love in his will. This blue door over here reminds me of something very interesting. When we think about how we interact with our world, this has a dog door on it. Sometimes we think of the gospel just interacting with us as human beings, intellectually and spiritually, but you know what? It actually blesses our world. I think Sam enjoys the fact that he lives in a Christian home. Because shouldn't our Christianity, shouldn't the way that we live before Christ actually impact our world? And shouldn't our pets be the first one to say, you know what? I'm glad I live in a Christian home. There's in the Midrash, which is the Jewish commentary on the Torah, there's a Midrash saying that says, in heaven, all the pets that you've had will be gathered before God. And they'll have the opportunity to tell God how you treated them. I'm a farm boy. That troubles me. But after hearing that, I realized that shouldn't our Christianity impact our world? I think so. It's God's world. The brown door over to my left. On it hangs keys and credit keys, if you will, of names that you've written on there that are heavy on your heart, that you want them to know God. I have the initials of those people that I'm going to continue to pray for. But I encourage you, for the initial that you perhaps put on those keys, keep praying for them, because like that door, we have windows into heaven and we have a door into heaven. The door is Christ. But God also gives us visions of what's coming. And I pray that God gives you visions of those that are going to follow you as you pursue Christ.